Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Everybody likes to imagine that they are pretty capable in and of themselves, that they can pick themselves up by their own bootstraps, so to speak. Right? If we have an issue, well, if we set our mind to it, we can overcome the issue. This is why everybody likes victory stories, when the good guy wins in the end and the bad guy loses. It's why we admire people who are successful. We think that somehow they might have superpowers, because how do you go from having nothing to having such great success? But imagine for a moment that you're in prison, or maybe you're chained to something, and you don't have the key. You can go to the bars, you can shake them, you can pull at the chains, you can do whatever you want, but unless you get the key, you're not going to be able to free yourself. And at a certain point, you can continue to try, and you can continue to struggle, but eventually, you'll give up. You'll give in. You'll convince yourself that it's not worth struggling against anymore. And you'll simply come to some sort of learned helplessness about how you'll never be free. Well, if you've ever had a vice or an addiction, you know exactly what this is like. The addiction consumes you. It's like being trapped in a prison. And what happens is you might struggle against it, right? When that addiction creeps up on you, you might go, okay, you know, I'm going to fight it this time. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to overcome it. But eventually you give in to the struggle, and the fight is lost. And then in the midst of your remorse, you tell yourself that next time it comes up, I'm going to beat it. You vow that you're never going to do it ever again, that is, until the next time actually comes. And then the struggle is on yet again. And so we go through this cycle, and the truth is it doesn't even matter if everybody knows that drugs and alcohol and things of that nature are addicting. But the truth is that we all have something that we are addicted to. I don't know what yours is, but each and every one of us has a specific sin or a specific vice or something that we struggle against. How do you break the cycle? How do you get out? How do you escape the sin? Jesus tells us in our text for today. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And Jesus called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house." Now, admittedly, addiction is not specifically mentioned in this text, but the agent of addiction is. The person who authors all addiction, the person who authors sin, Satan. He's right there. And Satan isn't stupid. He's not dumb. In fact, he's very clever. A lot of times when we picture Satan, we think he's some, you know, dumb guy who we can easily conquer. And you know, when he appears, he's just going to be like, "Hey, I'm Satan." And we're just going to be like, "Oh, I'm not going to listen to you." But Satan is so much smarter than that. What Satan does is he literally sort of wriggles his way in ways that we are unaware of. You know, Satan's name is Lucifer. You know what Lucifer means? It means light bearer. Satan comes, and he doesn't come and, you know, with the horns and the forked tongue and, you know, the pitchfork and all that nonsense. He comes and he looks like an angel of light. He looks good and pious and holy. And then in this pious and this holiness thing, he uses his one trick. And that's to very slowly switch out the promises in the Word of God for a lie. That's his only trick. That's the only thing he knows how to do. But he's so good at it. He's so good at it. And there are things even in each and every one of our minds that are falsehoods that Satan has somehow wormed his way in there to make us believe. And so this battle is constant. This battle with sin, this battle with Satan, this battle with maybe addiction. And if you think you're going to win, if you think you're going to overcome it, if you think that you're going to be the next success story against Satan, you've already lost. The battle's over. You're finished. You're done. You don't even realize that you're beaten. You don't even realize that he's already finished you off. And so I bring this to you today, and really the Lord's word brings this to you today, to remind you of something. And it's that we always need to be on our guard. If you ever think that Satan is not afflicting you, you're in danger. If you ever think that Satan and his attacks are not real, you are in danger. And it brings us back to our text for today. The scribes and the Pharisees, what are they accusing Jesus of doing? Of being in league with Satan. And Jesus goes, you guys are just totally ridiculous. If I'm in league with Satan, then why would I be casting out the demons to begin with? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus explains to them, to his accusers, that Satan's kingdom is united. It's united. There is no splintering in Satan's kingdom. Sin, death, Satan, the world, they're all against us. Even our own sinful natures are in league with Satan. And they're all trying to do the same thing for us. They're trying to help us doubt God's word. And notice that Jesus doesn't deny any of this. He never says that Satan isn't working in the world, because he knows. He knows how plugged into the world Satan is and what he's doing. Because he's in the midst of an all-out attack against you. Especially you. God's people, Christians, Satan hates you, and he will do anything to tear you down. And so what's the solution? Well, again, I mean, Satan's bringing all sorts of stuff, right? Addiction, sin, giving in. You know, we do all of these things. And what's the solution? No one can enter a strong man's house unless he first comes and binds the strong man. It's the shortest creed I've ever heard in my life. Because it really goes like this. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. This is the creed. This is what Jesus is talking about here. What is Satan's house? Satan is this strong man, right? Why? Because he's stronger than each and every one of us. You, me, everybody. He's stronger than humanity. If you want to go toe-to-toe with Satan, you will lose. We're living in this world of sin. We're living in our own sin. No matter where we go, we can't escape it. The only way you escape sin is death. That's it. We're going to hear about shootings, especially in our country. We're going to hear about war. We're going to hear about earthquakes and natural disasters. We're going to hear about, even just this past week, people committing suicide. This is what a sin-filled world looks like. This is literally Satan's domain. Remember the prison? You're living in it. You might not realize it, but this is a prison. This is Satan's house. But what does Jesus do? He comes into Satan's house, born of a virgin, living a perfect life. And every time Jesus goes toe-to-toe with Satan, he comes out on top. Why? Because Jesus is stronger than the strong man. Jesus is stronger than Satan. Jesus is able to overcome him, even in his weakest points. Think about it. Born of the virgin. And what does Satan try to do? Well, he uses Herod as his vessel to try to kill Jesus as he's less than 2 years old. The slaughtering of the holy innocents. And what happens? It doesn't work. Comes back. Jesus lives a perfect life. The first thing he does in his ministry, he's led out into the wilderness for 40 days without food. And Satan comes and tempts him. Turn the stones into bread. And who comes out on top? But Jesus stays truthful and faithful to God's word. He's on the cross. Bring yourself down from the cross, Jesus. After all, he is God. He has the power to do it. And what does Jesus do? He dies there. He allows himself to shed his blood, all of it pouring out of his body, and he dies so that he can utter the very last words from the cross, "It is finished." Satan is finished, because even at Jesus' weakest moments, he is stronger than Satan. He overcomes him. And what's better, but you know, again, if we carry through the parable, you can't go ahead and plunder somebody's house if the strong man kills you when you walk in. It doesn't work. And so Jesus, he comes back to life, right? It looks like Satan wins, but in that moment where Jesus dies and comes back to life, he literally binds Satan. He ties him up, and Satan has no more power. He's utterly worthless, and he can't accuse us of sin, and he can't do anything to us any longer. This is what Jesus does. He enters the prison that we live in, that is Satan's house, and he frees us. He takes you as his possession. And he doesn't just take you, but then he takes care of you. He brings you to a place that is far better than that prison you were living in before. And for now, it's the church, because as much as this is Satan's house, there is one place where we come where heaven touches earth, and it's right here today. God visits us with his word. He visits us with his promises. He visits us with life and salvation, and it's all yours today. The promises of Jesus are real, and they belong to you. Which brings us back to that whole addiction thing and the sin and the problems of this world, because, my friends, the truth is that Satan is conquered. He's bound. He has no power. But in the world, we're still going to see this sin. It pops up. It comes up. In the midst of these attacks of Satan, we can say with all confidence, we can literally stare Satan in the face and say, you know what? I am a Christian. I share in the same flesh and blood as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Go settle your account with him. When the temptation comes to you, when the addiction comes and tempts you, you tell Satan, you say, go to hell, because that's where he belongs, and that's where he will be confined for all eternity. My friends, that breaks the cycle, because today the cycle breaks. Your sins are forgiven. Your addictions are overcome because Jesus has given you freedom. Now, granted, I don't know if you might actually be addicted in some physical way to something. And here's the truth. If you are, there are plenty of physical blessings that God gives us in this life to help us overcome those things. But as far as the sin's concerned, you can be certain it's done away with today. For you have the promises of Jesus. He has been crucified and risen for you. And your sin and your addiction and your death and everything that harms you has been put away through Jesus' death and his victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.